This is the Microsoft AI Minute. Welcome to the June 2018 episode. I'm Jonathan Wood, and I'll be your host. And if you need to reach me, you can reach me at Twitter, at jwood. Now, we actually got quite a few news items to go through, so let's get started. First up is that we can create a Q&A knowledge base using new bot builder tools. And one exciting tool that they have announced is called Ludown, which allows you to create natural language components locally for both Luis and Q&A Maker. And it's a neat little tool where you can create these .lu files, and then you can create question and answer pairs within the Ludown format that can be parsed and sent on to the Q&A Maker. This is just some tools that you can use to create your questions and different types of answers related to those questions instead of having to do everything within the Q&A Maker portal. Next, we have that Microsoft is using AI to cut the cloud's electricity bill, and their cloud services are now 93% more energy efficient and up to 98% more carbon efficient than traditional data centers. What it's doing is that the AI is helping to decide which virtual server to use at a given point in order to complete a task, and that will allow it to process cloud tasks a lot more efficiently than it used to be. All right, next up, we have that Microsoft acquires an AI company called Bonsai. And what that does is that it helps people who don't do programming develop machine learning tools for their applications. And that's going to be interesting how they roll this out. So we're going to have to see what happens with that and what kind of tools that they're going to be able to make for everybody without a programming background. So up next, we have an article on the machine learning blog about how to do distributed deep learning for object detection. It's an interesting article, and it goes in how they acquire the data set, what they do in order to train the model, and to how to deploy the model. But what's also interesting is they use a tool called Horovod, which was initially developed at Uber. And what it does is that it provides some advantages compared to a vanilla TensorFlow implementation of the algorithm that they had used, which mainly just does improvements of training speeds to utilize more GPUs. Now for something a little bit different. There was a video released on Channel 9 earlier this month that goes over DevOps for data science. Now, those two terms probably aren't used a lot together, but what you can do is that for data science, you can use source control, testing, and iterating a lot more on your models. And this video kind of goes into details on doing all those things for data science. Now, something else that was announced on the machine learning blog was that Microsoft released what they call their AI lab. And what it is that it is a community that showcases different projects that use different artificial intelligence things, such as custom vision, Visual Studio tools for AI, cognitive search, and plus a lot more. And these labs give you access to experiment with them, including the source code that's on GitHub, different insights into the business problem that they're trying to solve with each project, including the solution. A couple of projects included with this is something called a drawing bot, which uses deep learning to generate images from text descriptions. And you have the JFK files, which uses Azure Search with cognitive services. They pulls data from the files that were recently released. And what they found with that was that they found some answers and relationships within each of the documents that were released. And they also have a project where they use drones to fly around a simulated environment and take pictures. So there's a lot to explore here in the AI lab, and a lot of interesting things you could probably learn from it. And there's another bit of interesting news that came out. It turns out that AI powers Windows Update back in April, and they leveraged AI to be able to improve the quality and reliability of the update. And what they did with that was they used the AI to select devices from their feedback data, which would indicate to them that would have a good experience for the update. And then they would process those updates first. And then as the rollout progresses, they continuously collect the experience data and retrain their models to learn which devices will have a positive update experience so they can continue to roll out good updates in the future. So that's actually a really interesting use case for using artificial intelligence, and it's something that you probably wouldn't have thought to use AI with in the first place. And our next bit of news, which I think is a really nice one, is that Microsoft Research announces their open data portal, where they share out the different data sets that Microsoft Research uses. Now, there's a lot of places where you can get data sets from nowadays, such as Kaggle and the UCI Machine Learning Repository. But with Microsoft opening up their data sets from their research, that can do nothing but help out the community where other people can use that data to do their own types of research with. Another announcement Microsoft made was that they add intelligent visual search within their Bing mobile apps. And what that is that they include AI-powered visual search feature. And so the example that they give was that imagine hiking through a meadow and you're seeing a flower that you don't know what type it is, but you're curious to see what the name of it is. What you can do is you can use the Bing mobile app, take a photo of it, and it'll tell you the name of the flower. We're kind of seeing now where applications like those are being a lot more available to us as time goes by, which is a good thing, and it can only get better from here on out. And our last bit of news is a real interesting one. It turns out that Microsoft just put a data center in the bottom of the ocean, and it is a shipping container-sized center that holds 864 servers, which is completely powered by renewable energy. And it turns out that putting a data center in the ocean actually eliminates one of the biggest costs of running a data center, and it has the added benefit of getting that natural cooling from the ocean, so you don't need to run air conditioning within a data center, which can drive up the costs. But the plans are not to keep on adding data centers to the ocean. What this is that it is a research project meant to determine how this is going to be at scale. So they're going to monitor the data center over the next year to see how it performs. And that's the show this month. If you need to reach me, you can go on Twitter @JWood, and we'll see you next time.